Good morning. And the gospel lesson today is from John, the 9th chapter. As Jesus walked along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is still day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed. Now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "If he is of age, ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" Jesus answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, "You were born entirely of sin, and you are trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say we see, your sins remain." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace from our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ to you this day. Man, there's a lot in this reading. It's so long anyway, and I hope you're able to follow along in the reading that was sent out in this email. But if you did not, it might be helpful for you to get that in front of you at this point. And while you're preparing that or looking for it, let me start with this. It happened somewhere off in the future that a group of scientists got together and decided that man had come a long way and no longer needed God. So they picked one scientist to go and tell God that they were done with the Creator. The scientist walked up to God and said, "God, we've decided that we no longer need you. We're to the point that we can clone people and do many miraculous things. So why don't you just go on and get lost?" God listened very patiently and kindly to them. After the scientist was done talking, God said, "Very well, how about this? Let's say we have a person making contest." To which the scientist replied, "Okay, great." But God added, "Now we're going to do this just like I did back in the old days with Adam." The scientist said, "Sure, no problem." Bent down, grabbed himself some dirt. God looked at him and said, Nope. You get your own dirt." In verse 6, we see how Jesus decides to heal the blind man. First, when Jesus heals him, instead of waving his hands or just saying magical words of meaning, he gets down and dirty. He bends down close to the earth, uses his own saliva, and spits on the ground and begins to make mud. Jesus comes to us not in order to be pristine, but to show us that life is extremely messy. And more than that, Jesus is now mimicking God, the Creator. One of the few things I remember from my Greek class was this story of my professor's passion when it came to telling this gospel story. The translation says this man was born blind, but another interpretation of the Greek could be he was born without eyes. If we read it in this way, it brings a new understanding of why everybody around the blind man was so wigged out about this healing. Jesus not only healed this man's sight, he actually created new eyeballs from the same raw material from which God created the first humans. Jesus, as God's Son, creates eyes out of the dirt, the dust, the earth, and places them in the man's face, then asks him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Through washing with water, Jesus brings light to the life of the blind man. No preconditions. He simply heals him. Now that's more than a miracle. In the Gospel of John, that's actually called a sign. He uses that to describe miracles, but I just call it creation. So let's assume My Greek professor, Dr. Pryant, and other Greek professors are correct, and check out the rest of this text. These people around the blind man start to go crazy. People who know the blind man, his neighbors, don't even recognize him. They begin to ask him, "How were your eyes opened?" He tells them, "The man called Jesus made mud spread on my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and I washed and I received my sight." And they said, "Well, where is he?" He said, "I do not know." His belief was not based on the blind man's ability to locate Jesus, rather than it being based on the healing he received. We should all remember, we are all healed spiritually by God through Jesus Christ. Then the Pharisees hear about the same action and ask the blind man the same question. The blind man gives them the same answer, but their reaction first jumps to Jesus, his validity as a person of God, because he's actually in conflict with the law by healing on the Sabbath. The Pharisees once again begin to ask more questions. "How then does he see? How did he open your eyes? How had he received his sight?" They're so wrapped up in trying to figure out how this happened instead of the real question, what is God doing through this sign, this miracle, this creation? The Pharisees are focused on how things will change if they don't get back to normalcy. See, the sign changes everything. It changes their understanding of sin and explaining illness and who is righteous and who is not. But of course, Jesus never promised us a return to normalcy. Rather, he promises new life to all and the normalcy of God in which God created the earth full of love and reconciliation. I'd like to take us back to the beginning of our reading, paying attention to verses 3 through 5. As it is written right now, or as we see it in our scripture, it reads, "As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work.'" And once again, this is where Greek class comes in handy. One of the first revelations we experience as freshmen, the Greek text, as it was written, has no punctuation. So the punctuation we see in our scripture is at best a guess from the interpretation of the translator. Professor Ralph Jacobson, the Old Testament professor at Luther Seminary, is adamant in his last podcast through Working Preacher that in verses 3 through 5, the translators made a mistake. He says we should read it this way: "Jesus answered, 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned,' period. In order that God's work might be revealed in him, we must work the works of him who sent me until it is day. Night is coming when no one can work." Do you hear the difference? At the end of verse 3, the words "he was born blind" are not in the original Greek text. The translator put them in for some reason. Dr. Jacobson says this: "Jesus answered, 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned. In order that God's work might be revealed in him, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work.'" If you read it in this form, we find in our Bible we are led to ask, who is to blame for this man's blindness? Something is wrong, this blindness. Who do we have to blame? You know, if we find the actual blame for this illness, then we can get back to normal. Case closed. But Jesus says neither his parents nor this man sinned. That is not the issue here. I'm not even going to talk about that. This is what's important. In order that God's work might be revealed, we must do the work of him who sent me while it is day. Society truly gets caught up in the wrong questions. Who sinned and who made this thing happen? How was this man healed? Instead of asking, what is the work of the people during this catastrophe? This might be a far stretch, but look at the coronavirus as the blindness the man experienced. And what questions are we asking? Through this catastrophe, God is with us. No one caused this virus. Sin did not cause this virus. It will take longer, for sure, to heal from this than merely placing mud pies on our face. But instead of trying to cast blame, let us ask, what is the work of the people in and during this catastrophe? Instead of asking, how long will this go on? What if we ask, where can we see God in this tragedy? Things might not return to our normal. Maybe this could be a step into a new normal. A normal where people talk. Where families may possibly be reunited with nothing to do but spend time together. Where friends look out for one another. Where congregations become out-of-the-box thinkers to find ways of connecting and live outside their church buildings. And what that means for their spiritual life. Where we can't rely on church walls to invite people into, so let us maybe think about how we open our hearts to let people in. Where God's people stop trying to return to a past, rather look for a new future. We are walking in the wilderness as the Israelites walked out of Egypt, probably the closest thing we will ever experience as Americans to it anyway. There's no turning back, though we only wish we could be comfortable again. Our faith tells us God will show up. God will bring manna from heaven and water from a rock. God will provide. God will sustain us. God is always there. As we follow the Creator of all things, as we get dusty and dirty, thirsty and wet, our faith lets us know we are loved and forgiven. Amen.